Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, just as the soft rain falls all around, Lord, that we have such an expectation for you to pour out your Spirit on all flesh, Lord. As the soft rain, Father, that drenches the hearts, Lord, that just soaks in to the ground, Lord, and that covers, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we ask that you would continue to pour out your Spirit, Lord. You continue to soak us with your presence and soak us with your Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. That you would fill us to overflowing, God. And Lord, as we gather this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your kingdom, that you are establishing your kingdom, Father. That your word, you're establishing your word in us and in our hearts, Lord. And this morning we ask by your Holy Spirit that you'd come and impart something to us, Lord. That you'd mobilize us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be partners with you in the harvest, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Last week we looked at some aspects of Peter's life, and just to do a quick recap, I'm just going to continue in that vein a little bit and just touch on a few practical things. But if you weren't here last week, we looked at Peter's life, we looked at how incredibly zealous guy he was, you know, passionate about the Lord, ready to go into action, almost to his detriment at times, you know, doing things but almost rashly and too much in a hurry and, you know, just running into situation. And having incredible highs, you know, he was the guy that stepped out of the boat onto the water, you know. That he's also the guy that got that revelation of Christ being the Son of God. But then he had this, you know, also lows, in which, you know, the ultimate one where we actually, although he was so passionate and said he'll never deny Christ, you know, he got to the place where he actually did deny him three times. But then we see that massive transformation happening. We see this guy being filled with the Holy Spirit. We see him being powered by the Holy Spirit and coming from that kind of turbulent this way, that way, just want to almost rely on the strength of his own strength and in the flesh and on the, you know, on his own wisdom, etc. Going into a completely different kind of guy, bold in God. And I just, again, when I read through some of the scriptures there, it's amazing to see when you read the Peter after the Pentecost and after Christ had risen, we read about him, we see a very focused guy. And where before, often there was times when you see the disciples, not only Peter, but wanting to say, okay, Lord, but is this how the kingdom is going to look? Having kind of a skew idea of the kingdom, not really understanding what it's going to mean for Christ to reign. You know, they wanted to have a, you know, earthly reign, that sort of thing. And especially with Peter wanting to kind of whip out his sword, you know, going big in that way. But afterwards, we see kind of it's very powerful. We see him so focused on the gospel and establishing God's kingdom that it's really inspiring. And, you know, even with walking past the guy, asking for something, for money at the temple, I can just see them, like, on their way somewhere, they're going to go preach or something, and then this guy's here, and then he gets healed, and they just kind of carry on type of thing. Not because before, when something like that would happen, you know, like we saw on the mountain, he wanted to build an altar, he wanted to, you know, do something and make a monument or something, and kind of go into rituals and things. But there we see just a new kind of focus. And we saw that often we can relate to Peter in that way. We know a relationship with God. We're passionate about doing his will, but we often miss it because we end up in the flesh, or we end up in our own plan, in our own wisdom, and in our own kind of doing the stuff in the flesh. So we look at that transformation. We see Peter turning into this amazing, bold person, fearless in his obedience to the commission. You know, no more rituals and this and that to distract him, and the urgency in him to pursue the kingdom. So this week, I want to continue in that vein, and we're going to actually just get practical a little bit. I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians, which we ended on last week. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 7. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in the key there, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we see this incredible power that God pours out when the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this amazing picture here that we have this treasure, this power of God, in an earthen vessel. In other words, we are fallible and we are, you know, you kind of see it as this cracked vessel and, you know, not without impurities or not without faults, but we have that, we are like that specifically, that everybody can see that the power is of God and not of us, that the wisdom is of God and not of us, that the people that our faith will be in Him and not in ourselves, that our faith will be in our Savior and in the Holy Spirit, in His direction, not in our own wisdom and in our own plans. Okay, are you with me still? Okay, so this week, this morning, let's just also recap that Matthew 17, 2-4, which we read last week, from verse 2. And he was transfigured before, and this is where they came onto the mountain. Actually, I don't know if we read this, but Jesus took them onto the mountain. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we see that thing there, you know, immediately Peter feels, wow, we need to do something. Yeah, this is amazing. This is very spiritual. And I feel often we do the same, you know, maybe it's just me. But I think the enemy tries to make us feel inadequate spiritually. And he kind of makes us focus on what we lack instead of focusing on what we have in Christ. And then we see, like for instance, yeah, Peter think, I don't know, maybe if it was me, it would have been a matter of, wow, this is something very spiritual happening here, something very almost, you know, it's like, mind-blowing. So now I need to respond in some way. I must now do something. And I feel often we try to cover our what we feel we lack in spirituality or in, you know, kind of being on that spiritual level by doing a lot of things. And one of saying, okay, you know, let's just, you know, this is not a spiritual moment. Let's just, what can we do? And often what happens is we get into, and we have these little rituals, whether it be of our own culture or different cultures, you know, we have little things that we do that make us feel very spiritual, and that kind of help us, you know, make us comfortable. Are you with me? I feel the Lord wants to just help us to be released from that, whether it be stuff in our own culture. Sometimes we do stuff from the Jewish culture. Obviously, there's some festivals that we should partake in, but that is not the answer for us to grow in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Doing rituals and doing things from our culture or different cultures. The answer is, I believe, is in having an understanding of the will of God for us in that situation. So I really feel that God wants to bring us to a point of having a confidence in knowing what His will is in a specific situation. So now you're in a situation at work, or maybe not at work, but yeah, wherever you are, having that confidence of what the will of God is for that situation. And then out of that confidence, being able to also act in confidence in what we know God is requiring of us. And sometimes that might not be something that looks very spiritual. It might not even be something that other people notice. You know, it might just be you interceding for your workplace if something is going down, taking responsibility in your spirit. Nobody knows, nobody even is aware of it, but you have a confidence because you know what God has called you to do in that situation. Are you with me? There's a difference between us kind of trying to figure, okay, what must I do now? How do I respond now? And almost kind of just going directly into the flesh. And then, on the other hand, being in tune with what God is saying and kind of, okay, now this miracle has happened. How do I respond? What is my role in it? And how we get there is, I believe, God, we get a key here in Romans. Chapter 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Us filling ourselves with the word, us coming so kind of, it's from spending that time in his presence and filling ourselves with the word that we become confident in what we is in hearing his voice when it comes to that specific, when we're in that situation. And then it becomes easy to say, okay, no, that's the voice of God. I don't have to be spiritual now. I don't have to do cartwheels. I can just be still and hear from God what he requires of me in the situation. And I think that's often where we miss it. We kind of jump into something like Peter does, and we miss God often as we're trying to be spiritual. We don't hear from him. And that's what I see in the life of Peter after that transformation. Because remember, even before Pentecost, the Lord, Jesus, after he was resurrected, he spent quite a few weeks with the disciples. And at one specific stage, he restored Peter three times. Where Peter denied him three times, he restored him three times. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And then, he kind of affirms him, and then he asks him again, and he affirms him kind of thing. And then, it's just amazing, and God is able to meet us there. I just want to encourage you. I didn't mention that last week, but if you've been in that situation where you feel you've missed something, or you've missed God like Peter had, or you've denied him, or you didn't take an opportunity, or you were a bit kind of undercover Christian like often we are, know that God is able to meet us right there, and he's able to restore us. And it's out of that restoration, I believe, that Peter got to this place of being so incredibly bold, so incredibly confident. And his partnership with the Holy Spirit. Amazing to see that. But so in terms of us coming to, and that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, coming to a place where instead of just going into overdrive and running into a situation, we hear from God, okay, Lord, this is what you require in this situation. Okay, but we're going to add a bit to that in a moment. And then we're going to practice. Okay. Another key that I feel for us in establishing our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that's kind of what we're dealing with this morning, is the we know that God has poured out the Holy Spirit. We know that we cannot go forward without the Helper that we spoke about last week. And his presence with us, and his help and his power in and through us in every situation. But how do we practically walk in that relationship? What does it mean day to day? 1 Peter 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I feel this is a key for us in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I found this in my own life. When we, the Holy Spirit is if you look at the Trinity, you can always see him as the mother figure. He's not female, but in terms of his role as the nurturer, the comforter, the helper. And he's also, if you can call it that, if you look at Scripture, he's also the one that can be grieved and can be quenched. And I would say almost sensitive, that's why it's important that we respect that in our relationship with him. And and almost kind of guard our hearts and guard in the way we deal with the Holy Spirit and also obviously with our relationship with God. But this is a key. The moment we find pride in something, and we saw that with Peter, you know, he's saying, Lord, I will never deny you. Even if, you know, everything else, whatever, it goes to the extremes, and he said, it's never going to happen. And then sure as anything, it happens. You know, that scripture always says, pride comes before the fall. But in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's something that we need to do continually, humble ourselves to a point of being receptive to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Have you ever experienced when you're in a situation where, for instance, Gibby. Gibby is a guy that's good with cars, but he's not a mechanic. And he say, for instance, when he's a worship leader, for instance, say when he was still working for the church. So now, for instance, Gibby meets somebody and they know him to be a worship leader in church, and they drive somewhere together and the car breaks down, and this guy doesn't know Gibby's skill in terms of cars. So then he tells Gibby, no, listen, you know what you should do, this and this and this, and he explains to him exactly, you know, in a situation where sometimes that person is not aware of your expertise, for instance, in that specific field. And then they want to kind of tell you how to do it now. For instance, or if Nellis, for instance, gets into a situation with a stranger or somebody who doesn't know him very well, and the person wants to explain to him how he should, you know, how he should treat his boy's health or whatever, you know, in terms of, you know, no, you know what, you should get this medicine or this and this. You know, and the person is not aware of your knowledge or expertise in that area. Have you experienced that I find this compulsion to explain to this person, now you don't have to help me in this area. I'm actually quite well qualified in this area. You know, you have this thing that comes, I don't know, I have this thing that comes up in me wanting to say, no, don't worry. I got this. I understand. This is one area where you don't have to tell me anything, type of thing. You know, it always feels a bit funny afterwards because you realize you've just kind of, you've had this compulsion to say, no, but listen, I know this stuff. You don't have to help me here. I can sort this out. Maybe it's just the men. I don't know if the ladies have this disease. but what I experience that we often do this in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I can throw this out there. The area that you are most capable in is often the area where we find it most difficult to hear from God. Because this is my thing. This is I'm good at this. You know? But the weird thing is, I believe that's exactly the area where we need to humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, for your kingdom to really come, for you to really be glorified in this situation, I need to humble myself, otherwise God will do it. I need to humble myself just to invite you into this area that I feel is my expertise so that your name can be glorified in it. You know, and I've experienced this even in stuff like evangelism. You chat with somebody, or prayer, or counseling, you know, you chat with someone and as they're talking, you know, yeah, I've had this thing before. I know exactly where this person is. And then you put them in a little box that you've labeled, and you've got answer A ready for this person. Because now, as they're talking, you already know, oh, it's one of those guys, and these are the steps, and you don't even listen. You've already made up your mind on how to help this person, and that's dangerous ground, because that's exactly where the Holy Spirit just says, okay, well, obviously you've got this covered, so I'm cheers, I'll see you later, type of thing. And I want to encourage us. I really feel that this is going to be crucial for us going forward, where we're so kind of aware that for God to be glorified and for His kingdom to really come, I must become nothing in this situation. I must decrease to a place of insignificance so that Christ can be made manifest, even if it isn't a place where I'm most capable and most qualified. Does that make any sense? This often is also manifest in our prayer life. Let's read Romans 11:33-34. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgment and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Okay, now Paul's not looking for an answer here. He's asking a rhetorical question because no one has known the mind of God and no one has been His counselor. But yet, I find that we pray. I know you guys don't do this, but we pray and then we're actually asking God's help. And this is a pet peeve I've got. I get so irritated when people ask me advice about something I feel I can give advice about. And then I tell them what I think. I mean, I didn't phone them or anything. They come to me for advice. And then, not about spiritual stuff, just practical stuff. Ask me about something, how does this work or how does that work? And I give them, yes, of course, I know about, I've done that or I've been there. Yes, I know the way there. And then I tell them, and then they don't follow my, they don't, okay, cool, but then they do something else. Have you heard that? Isn't that irritating? But isn't that what we do with God often? We pray, and praying in my mind means, you know, we come to God, we ask God for help. Or we ask the Holy Spirit. But often then, what we do is we prescribe. Like I said, you guys didn't do this. But we tell God, you know, Lord, I've already figured out what the solution is for this situation. And I know what you need to do to fix it. So we don't humble ourselves. We don't just come to God humbly. We just say, okay, Lord, please, bang, 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 bang. Point by point, this is how it must happen. I know I'm kind of making it extreme now, but it can be subtle. Lord, this my boss at work, you know, please humble him because he's so arrogant, you know, and he needs to be sorted out. And, you know, I really submit to him, but... You know, please, can you just, whatever, you know, we pray in a way that we don't actually allow the Holy Spirit to show us what His will is in the situation. And my question this morning is, who's counseling who? Who can be the Lord's counselor? And Yankor and I discussed this the other day as well, and he said, it's amazing, you know, one, if you're kind of aware of it, and you're kind of asking yourself that question often, it becomes easy to get this out of your prayer life and out of the way you relate to God. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to see when I am coming to a place where I want to prescribe. I want to be at a place of humility where I can say, okay, Lord, I really don't know what needs to happen in the situation. You know, your ways are higher than our ways. And that's why it's important, again, to get to the Word. Just so that we can pray Scripture. Because that's the will of God. Okay? So if God reminds you of a Scripture in a situation, that's great. Because then you can pray the Scripture. You can remind the Lord of Scripture and you know, that in a context of a specific situation. And that's awesome because that is the Word of God. And even of some, maybe sometimes we will get it out of context. But I believe often we miss God and we don't get our prayers answered because we don't understand what the will of God is and we're not really interested to hear from God. Are you still with me? And so that's my question. Who's counseling who? Do we come to God with saying, Lord, this is what you need to do and this is when it has to happen, and you know, we kind of have all the details worked out and Lord just needs to kind of step in and do it. So my challenge for us this morning is to come to a place where we say, okay, Lord, this is what I would have done or whatever, but, you know, we need to hear from you in this situation. And the amazing thing is, especially when we're dealing with people's lives, when we're dealing with small group and stuff like that, or praying for someone, I believe there's a place of humility where we'll find the Lord so keen, so ready to show us His will, and so ready to get involved in a situation. And if we invite Him, and if we allow Him, if we open our hearts to hear in a situation. So just beware of giving God friendly advice about certain situations. Okay. In Proverbs 16:2-3, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I believe another key for us in when we pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit is to really trust God to purify our hearts and to purify our motives, especially when it comes around things of the kingdom. And, you know, just listening to some amazing testimonies coming out from the last week's services and weeks before, they're just people being healed in church in amazing ways. I really believe God wants to release the gifts and release the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that we haven't seen. It's going to happen only in a place where God will receive glory for it. And, well, that's what I'm trusting for. But again, I believe the place for that to happen is when our hearts are pure in terms of our motive towards somebody else, our motive towards God, our motive towards His people. That's a prayer of my own heart to ask God, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that is any motive or any reason why I'm doing anything that is out of line, help me to get rid of that thing. Ask God, Lord, purify my heart, circumcise my heart so that I can be pure in the reason why I do things. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So even as we commit what we're doing and what we feel God calling us to do to Him, He's the one that sorts out our hearts, sorts out our thoughts, sorts out whatever, you know, even our plans. He those things will be established. Okay. I just want to reiterate 1 Corinthians 2, we mentioned last week. And I, brethren, when I come to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And again, in our pursuit of relationship with the Holy Spirit, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, flowing in the gift, flowing in the dependency upon the Holy Spirit, to understand, you know, that our faith should at all times be in the wisdom of God and His counsel, not in our own strength and on our own wisdom and our own plans and our own qualifications. And that's why, like I said at the beginning, it's such a key area. Those areas where we are qualified, those areas where we are confident to bring them before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, this the only reason why this is my life is to bring you glory. If I've got a strength in a certain area, the only reason I have it is so that you can be glorified. So please, Lord, let it be to your glory. Show me your will in this thing. Show me your way in it. And for us to be open to hear from Him. Another place where we easily miss it is in what we call the sin of presumption. This is a kind of a biggie for us. I believe it's similar to what I've been mentioning. A place where it's similar to the place where we counsel God, but it's a place where we kind of run into something and we run into what we believe the solution is for something without, you know, going into that presumption of, yes, this is what I must do, this is what God's will is, and not really inquiring of God. And again, I think that, I know that's the place where the Holy Spirit kind of backs off and says, okay, you carry on. And I want to encourage us to soften our hearts toward God, to soften our hearts to inquire of Him. Even if it's something small, most of us are involved in small groups. And for me, one of the challenges is not to presume, not to go into presumption, even around something simple like that. Or something simple like the way we worship God at home, or the way we approach God. But you really to seek Him in that. In terms of small group, I was just challenged the other day again. What does, if you quickly think of your small group, what distinguishes your small group from a Buddhist small group, if you have something like that, or a Muslim one? Yes, we pray, yes. My other faiths also pray. We discuss things, we think of good things that we should do and that we should act on. But my challenge to us is if we avoid this presumption thing and we really partner with the Holy Spirit, we're going to see things happen even in small groups that's going to boggle our minds. Maybe I should ask this, when last did your small group go completely off track? Your plan completely out of the window to such an extent that people got healed and delivered and saved in small group. You know, we have a plan and we have a structure and we almost kind of say, okay, Lord, this is what's going to happen tonight. But I want to really say there's a place where we can see God in terms of what His plan is and His purpose is for that home group that night, that small group. To a place where, you know, even if, you know, we're so open just to say, okay, Holy Spirit, we've got this plan and I believe this is what You're wanting us to do, but this is Your small group. This is Your kingdom coming. This is Your body. You're welcome to direct us in any direction You want us to go. I remember small groups where we have a plan, we have a kind of idea of what we wanted to do, and then the Lord just takes over, and it seems to go wrong. Everything goes wrong. You know, people say funny things, and I remember one small group specifically, me being a bit nervous because we were now two new guys, and I'm like, oh yeah, what's going to happen? And we're talking about all kinds of things, and everybody's sharing, and then these guys are also sharing, and I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know what the guys are going to say now. But it's so amazing because we were open for what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, both guys got saved and spirit-filled in that small group. And it's like completely out of what we were planning to do, and we had to, you know, the Lord kind of took us down a completely different track and different plan and different things were happening. But the amazing thing was just incredible fruit. So my encouragement to us is, even, you know, stuff like small group, stuff that we do regularly, stuff that is so run-of-the-mill almost, those are the things that we need to hear from God. Lord, what have You got on Your heart for us this today? What have You got on Your heart for my family? What have You got on Your heart for my workplace? To really partner with the Holy Spirit in that. And then finally, in Galatians 5:13, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I believe one of the key areas for us to to partner and to learn to partner with the Holy Spirit is when we go out there to serve people, whether it is in prayer, whether it is in just basic things. And I think some of us, we have our little pet doctrines and we like to encourage people. But serving, you know, we're convinced that when I'm sharing my little pet doctrine and things that I'm passionate about, I'm serving somebody. But let me say, that's good. But I felt specifically that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the need of the person, physical and spiritual, so that we can serve them in a way that, again, God will get glory. It's not about my revelation. It's not about my doctrine. It's not about my feeling good about myself. It's about humbly coming and serving someone in their need and in their desire and their need to know God, whatever. In the gifts and the gifts of the Spirit, also the fruit of the Spirit, we mentioned last week. And in terms of growing in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, this is a place where I've experienced probably the most transformation in my own life. Having a desire to grow in the gifts, having a desire to see God do amazing things. But the moment we focus on that, it kind of doesn't happen. But the moment we focus on serving someone in the love of God, then suddenly it comes naturally. Suddenly the Lord gives you words of wisdom. Suddenly people get healed when you pray for them. Because now it's not about me being the man of power for the hour, me wanting to attain something. Now it's me looking out for someone else. And that's where the heart of God is at. And I believe the moment we connect with the heart of God, we're going to see a release of the gift. We're going to see a release of the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is not only for believers or in our relationship to believers. I was having a haircut yesterday. And afterwards I realized, wow, this is actually such a good opportunity, but I was in another zone. You know, just in a situation like that, chatting to a person and being open to pray for someone or just to bless them or to encourage them or affirm them. Just in random situations, I believe when we can go, when we're looking for opportunities to serve people, we're going to see God do amazing things. So this, what is going to happen now, I really feel God wants to release some of us here this morning just into hearing His voice and having boldness to minister to one another. So it's great that we are a small group. And I want to re-encourage you, I was preparing that there are some that have experienced this in the past, maybe experienced the gift of the Spirit or experienced in hearing the voice of God, but maybe not at the moment as you did in the past. And I believe the Lord wants to release that again, kind of unblock the well. Because that's what happened with Peter. You know, there was a lot of blockages happening and there was a lot of Peter in the way. And the moment, but then there was this just the unblocking and this just gushing of rivers of living water. And we saw the amazing things that God did. And I believe tonight, this morning, God wants to unblock some wells, wants to release us to flow in the gifts, but out of that place of serving one another. Okay.